Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I felt like we were very abruptly cut off at that stupid computer. Just kidding. It's the one time throughout the show where if I don't stop talking, the computer will cut me off. So at the top of our last hour, I apologize. That wasn't really a proper sign off to an hour. And actually, I know there are some people who their local affiliate doesn't carry the final hour of the show, so it feels very abrupt. It was one of those, it was almost like I hung up on you. And so I am sorry for that. I like to tell you thank you again for your questions for Ask Amy Anything. And I do go back and answer some of them on Facebook and Twitter. I do not answer all of them. Every week I have people who get mad at me because I didn't answer their question. I answer some of the easier ones. Trust me when I say I already spend too much time on social media every afternoon as it is. And so I just don't have the opportunity to answer all of your questions and to write a novel every single time. But I do go back and reply to some of the ones that are quick. And so check them out on Facebook and also on Twitter. Also, I'm not going to tell you who's winning the Super Bowl or whether or not your favorite team's going to win a championship anytime soon. So I do avoid those questions religiously. So thank you. Thank you, as always, for sending your questions. We've been doing this now going back to when I was hosting the show on the weekends. And I enjoy Ask Amy Anything. It doesn't necessarily take that for me to tell embarrassing stories. But sometimes I do. Sometimes I tell embarrassing ones, like how I was out to save all of the oysters on the beach in South Carolina. So on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. And then our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Now, coming up, we're going to get back to your phone calls. I know a lot of you are still wanting to weigh in about NBA TV ratings. And if you missed it, I'll just quickly reset this if you want to share your opinions with me. The NBA has got a crisis on its hands. And it's not just about fans who are cord cutting. It's not just about Americans who have different priorities post-pandemic. No, this is a bigger problem than that. Because the NBA's ratings are so far down, and there's a pattern over the last 10 years that's pretty, it's pretty prominent. You can see it now. Going back to the 2011-12 season, the ratings are down 45% since then on ABC, which is the NBA's prominent broadcast partner. The ratings going back in the last decade are down 40% on TNT and are down 20% on ESPN. So it's a trend that you can see, a steady trend over the past decade. But here's the major kicker. Here's how bad it's gotten. The ratings for almost every sport in 2020 during the height of the pandemic were way off, right? And so many people, even me in the industry, I would share those ratings with you. For instance, the Stanley Cup Finals, off 60% from the year before. The Kentucky Derby that was run in the fall, way off. The ratings were so far down. I'm trying to think of some of the other. The World Series, the ratings were down, I think it was 40-plus percent, even though the World Series was actually played in October when it normally is. So in 2020, almost every sporting event across the board, now the NFL's decline in ratings was not nearly as exaggerated as some of the other sports, but the NFL also saw a decline in ratings about 7 to 9%, somewhere in that area. The playoffs were down in some cases. Even the Super Bowl numbers were off. Okay, so in 2020, every sport, every event took a hit when it came to TV viewership. So that's not what we're talking about. That was because of changing priorities for Americans, changing TV viewership, a lot more people going to, say, Netflix or Amazon Prime, and also these sports, a lot of them being out of their regular time slots or out of the regular months of the calendar when they would generally be operating. The Masters, another great example, played in November instead of in April, and the ratings were way down. Fast forward to this season in the NBA, and the ratings have not rebounded. In fact, it's gotten worse. Compared to the bubble, which was, late July, August, September, into October of last year, when the ratings were bad. But as I say, that pretty much matched the trend in every sport. The ratings are now down another 13% this season compared to the bubble for the NBA last year. So they haven't rebounded. They've done the opposite. They've lost another 13% in terms of TV viewership. And that's across the board over the course of the season. We're not talking about 1 or 2 weeks in the season. We're talking about through this entire season, heading into the final week of the schedule, ratings are down another 13% from what they were in the bubble in Orlando. Now compare that to, say, the Kentucky Derby. Its ratings rebounded. First Saturday in May, 14.5 million viewers. Compare that to the Masters. Now, the Masters numbers were down. There was no Tiger Woods. But they expected that they would rebound some from the fall, which they did. You could look at some of the others and compare, and we will as we go through the course of 2021. We'll see what happens with the NFL. We'll see what happens with baseball. We'll see what happens for sure with the Stanley Cup playoffs and whether or not they come back or are healthier ratings compared to last year. But the NBA numbers are the ones that I have for you right now, and they're stunning. Per game on whatever network is airing it, ABC, TNT, ESPN, the NBA is not even averaging 1.5 million viewers. The NCAA championship game brought in 10 million viewers. As I mentioned, the Kentucky Derby, 14.4 million viewers. The first round of the NFL draft had nearly 13 million viewers. Now, I know that's an event. It's a little bit different. But per game, the NBA is averaging just 1.4 million viewers right now. And you go back to, as I say, a decade ago, and there's been a steady decline. And there are a lot of theories for it. I hate the idea of just putting everything under the umbrella of politics. I don't think that's fair. If you are one of those people that don't like the activism in the NBA, okay. But there are plenty of people who appreciate the activism in the NBA. I don't know that it balances out, but it's not responsible for this entire decline in ratings. Now, there's also the cord cutting. I would say there's also the fact that the style of play in the NBA is maybe not as entertaining as it used to be. At least it isn't for me. So I don't enjoy today's NBA game and the NBA style as much as I did 10 years ago, or even going back to the days when I fell in love with the NBA. I don't like ISO ball. I don't like not playing defense. I don't like the fact that there are whistles seemingly every 25 seconds, and that now, because of the new rules, you can't even hand check a player without having, you know, fearing for a whistle. So it's no longer a contact sport to me. I love the fact that there used to be half court teams with big men who played back to the basket, and you could have contact, you could bang around underneath the hoop. It's just a completely different game. That's just my personal opinion. Do I still watch it because of work? Absolutely. I just don't enjoy the product on the court as much as I used to. Outside of a few teams that do actually share the basketball or, you know, run fast breaks and play defense. So there are a couple of exceptions to the rule. So whatever the reasons are, it's a cumulative effect, and it's certainly not one factor. There are multiple factors. And it's just interesting. I'm sure that the NBA is in crisis mode. Whether or not Adam Silver and his front office is going to admit how concerned they are, you can't see these numbers, even with long-term broadcast deals, and not wonder what the heck is happening and how can we fix it. The NBA has a sizable social media presence. So not only their Twitter, but some of their other satellite Twitters, as well as the players themselves who engage on social media. They do have quite a following on social media. And there's this whole new NBA Top Shot phenomenon, which I don't really understand. I don't get it, how you can buy the rights to a highlight and yet the highlight can still be available other places. I don't really understand it, but it's also a new phenomenon there. So there is a sizable and significant social media component to the NBA. But in terms of TV viewership, it's almost disappeared. A Tuesday night, a couple of weeks ago, I remember I was reading where the WWE event on USA had more viewers than... And it was a game between two really good teams. It was, it might have been the Nets and the Bucks, if I remember. I'd have to go back and research, so don't quote me on that. But it was a game that featured some superstars in the NBA, a nationally televised game, and there were more people who watched the professional wrestling event that night. And I think we can safely say that professional wrestling is still a niche sport. It is a niche sport. It's got its dedicated followers, but we're not talking mainstream. And so I don't know what the answer is, but I appreciate the theories that many of you have. Again, you cannot chalk it up to activism. That's not the full and complete and total explanation, because there are, sure, many people who don't appreciate how in your face the NBA is about its activism, but there are people who do appreciate it. And I've even heard from some people who have become bigger NBA fans because of the way that the league is willing to put itself out there. Now, there have been a couple of disasters. This whole situation with China and the NBA it's blown up in their faces. But again, I don't believe that you can explain a decline over the last 10 years simply by saying the NBA is too political or it's too in your face with its activism, because we're seeing declines that go back to 2011, 2012. It's a phenomenon that the NBA has got to fix, and yet I don't know how. Good news for the league, though, they've already been paid and they're guaranteed money in their long-term contracts with their broadcast partners. They're getting paid regardless, so I guess at least they're safe in that respect. We should all have the same type of job security, right? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning into The Hump Show. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you want the ability to adjust your loan options in real time, Rocket can. I thought we were going to get to a lot more football on the show, but we just haven't, because we've had full phone lines for most of the last few hours. So I promise you, we're going to get back to your calls after this first break here. 855-212-4227, 855-212-4CBS. But this hour, I at least want to give you these two things. Urban Meyer explaining what's really going on with Tim Tebow. So I'll just raise my hand and say, I believe the reports that were out there and kind of got caught up in the ideas and what was being shared, and it may not be completely accurate. So I'll let you hear from Urban Meyer. Producer Dave thinks he's lying, but he wanted to set the record straight on the Chris Collinsworth podcast. And then Ian Rappaport has the latest on the relationship between Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. And the reason I say I want to share it with you is because there was something in his report that actually surprised me, that I think will surprise you too, and maybe calm down some of the fears about Rodgers being traded. So we'll get to those two things, I promise, before the hour is up. couple of things from the NBA. If you missed the late night game between the Knicks and Lakers, it was a good one. It went into overtime. And the reason I tell you this is because the Knicks haven't been in the playoffs now in close to a decade. It's been 8 years. Their magic number was one. They had a 10-point lead midway through the fourth quarter. And the Lakers, even without LeBron James, but with a fantastic performance, best game of his long and storied Lakers career for Andre Drummond. I mean, he killed it in this game, and he was exactly what the Lakers needed. Between him, a strong performance from Anthony Davis, it wasn't his best game. It wasn't 40-plus points. But also, with what we got from guys who had an opportunity to step up, right? So without Dennis Schroeder, then without Kyle Kuzma, who didn't play in the second half or played very few minutes in the second half, with still no LeBron James, they were actually short of ball handlers. But enter stage left, a new face, a new name.
Here's Andre Drummond with the ball after Anthony Davis controlled the tip. Davis dribbles left. Step back. Two-pointer by AD. No good. Tip by Drummond. Grab by Drummond. Throws it in the corner. Talen Horton-Tucker for three. Good. To Anthony Davis at the top of the key. Gets it to THT. Talen Horton-Tucker one-on-one against Derrick Rose. Dribbles around a pick from Davis. Gets it to Davis. Got to the rim. Plays it up and in. Give the assist to Talen Horton-Tucker. THT dribbling. Picks up his dribble. Goes to KCP. Right back to Talen Horton-Tucker, who dribbles left. Three-pointer, THT. It's good! Talen Horton-Tucker puts the Lakers up by two. 10 seconds to go in the game. Rose dribbling left. Gets to the rim. Stops. Throws it backwards to R.J. Barrett. 5 seconds to go. Barrett dribbling. 3 seconds. 2-1. 35-footer for the lead. No good. And the Lakers win it. 101-99 in overtime. And LeBron is the first player on the court to congratulate his teammates.
John Ireland on the Lakers radio network. So THT, Talen Horton-Tucker, gets a huge opportunity and in overtime makes the most of it. Hits both of his big threes, also had 10 assists. And so they needed every bit of what THT could bring to the table. And as I was listening to the game, I was driving in listening to the fourth quarter and then I watched the overtime here in studio. But I couldn't help wonder, THT, does that make more people think of TBT, as in Throwback Thursday, or does it make more people think of TNT, whether it's the network or the Dynamite? I mean, TNT is not a bad nickname, but his happens to be THT. And it's just, it's in the heat of the moment, it's easier to spill out than Talen Horton-Tucker. But congratulations to him, 13 points, 10 assists. The Lakers have yet to clinch a playoff spot, but the Knicks haven't done it either. Their magic number remains at one, though they are guaranteed at the very least a spot in the play-in tournament. The issue, though, is now they have the exact same record as both the Hawks and the Heat, the defending Eastern Conference champs, and both those teams have the tiebreak against the Knicks. So it looks more and more like the Knicks could end up, again, I still think they're going to make the playoffs, but they could end up in that number six spot. And so maybe not as easy. That's dumb to say. None of it's easy. It could be a tougher first round opponent for the Knicks if they don't end up moving back into that four spot. Still, regardless, the Knicks are the best story in the NBA this season. In fact, the way that they have played under Tom Thibodeau is not only a revelation, but the space on their bandwagon is rapidly disappearing because more and more people are discovering that this Knicks team plays hard.
I thought this was my building.
Oh, hi, Patrick. And that they defend on every possession. Something else that I think is critical, and I mentioned this earlier, also wrote a CBS Sports Minute about it, as much as this is a painful loss, and they've had some really close losses on the road. So they've got a pretty good record away from home. They're 16-20. But about 10 of those losses have been tight late, and they just haven't been able to pull them out. And in this case, they lost a big lead to the Lakers late and missed a bunch of opportunities. But with a team and a roster that has so little playoff experience, I actually think these games where they're fighting, scratching, clawing to the very end of the regular season are really good for them. Taj Gibson is the guy on their roster that has the most playoff experience outside of like Tom Thibodeau. And so for the Knicks to be in these games that are pressure packed, that have high stakes, that feature a sense of urgency and major intensity and tension, they've got to get comfortable in those situations if they want to make any noise in the playoffs. So I actually think as much as the loss sucks, and Julius Randle said it did afterwards, they need these experiences to prepare them for what's to come in the next couple of months should they continue playing into the NBA postseason. But, yeah, find your spot on the Knicks bandwagon now.
What the hell? Is this Madison Square Garden?
Actually, their last few games are at MSG, and so maybe they'll get a little more comfortable there. They do have a great record at home this year. 855-212-4227, 855-212-4CBS. Do you have theories? Hypotheses, if you will. Hot takes. Nope, no hot takes here. About why the NBA's ratings continue to plummet even after they got out of the bubble and they're back on schedule, sort of.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Pull the screen, Curry to pull. He's open. It's a three ball, and it's nothing but the bottom of the net. And the Warriors take a three-point lead, 116-113, with a minute 42 left.
You know, the We Believe days are over. We won three championships. I'm not part of no We Believe team. And like I said, that's no disrespect to the OGs that came before me. I love those guys, and what they started here is incredible. Jay Rich, Saginaw's finest. You know, no disrespect to them at all, because what they did was incredible. But no, we're not no We Believe 2.0.
Got back and on our team.
Follow Amy Lawrence on Twitter after hours or anytime. Her Twitter handle is at A-Law Radio.
It's been a long time since I've been so disappointed about an ill-timed comment on a Zoom call. Here's the deal. Can you mute yourself when the athlete is talking? So if you missed it, and it's hard to hear because some dope is talking over the money cut. This is Draymond Green, right? So producer Dave, what did the guy say? Saginaw? I mean, I think he was reacting to what Dre had just said about Saginaw, Michigan. At the end, you want to play the end again? Because he's like, no, we ain't no We Believe 2.0. And then there's the money line, the mic drop mine line.
No, we're not no We Believe 2.0.
Got Saginaw on our team.
See what it is.
So
it's
mad.
The guy who asked the original question there, who is still on and then asking a follow-up.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like the next guy who unmuted himself and then jumped in too early.
Freaking wait till he's done talking.
And it's not that big of a pause. I can see it here. It's really short. So he just jumped in at the worst possible time.
Oh, he absolutely did. Okay, so really quickly, what you've just heard, Jordan Poole hits a huge three with 1:43 to go in the Warriors' game against the Suns. They managed to hold on down the stretch, and they've won their fourth game in a row, so they're feeling good. They're playing their best basketball. But then afterwards, Draymond, who had a triple-double, he's feeling kind of salty. You know how he loves it when he feels himself. And he's answering questions, and someone comes up with this whole idea of, do you feel like the We Believe team? Now, if you don't know your Warriors history, We Believe was about 15 years ago. They were an 8 seed. They knocked off the 1 seed in the postseason, the first round of the playoffs, and it was this huge movement called We Believe. That was their slogan. Completely different guys, obviously. And so Draymond says, no, we ain't no We Believe 2.0. We've got three championships, right? So, yes, this is a different Warriors. You know, we're not in the same position as the big dog, as the top seed, but we're not We Believe. We're in a different place than that. At the very end, this is his money cut. He says, we ain't no We Believe 2.0. We've got bleeping Steph Curry on our team. Oh my gosh, it would have been so good. I saw the quote and wanted it. And then when I heard it, I'm like, are you kidding me? You ruined it. So thanks for nothing, reporter. It's after hour. I mean, I interrupt people too. So what am I talking about? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
What's that?
We've got bleeping Steph Curry. I mean, can you imagine how often we could have used that cut here on the show? 855-212-4227. 855-212-4CBS. Let's talk to Roger, who's in Washington. Roger, what do you think about the NBA's TV ratings?
Oh, my goodness. When you don't know the question, it's usually all of the above from like A to Z. You know what I'm saying?
So you think it's everybody?
Yeah, all of the above and then some. No, I think the NBA – well, Tim Tebow, real quick. Never seen him play. I saw him in person at the Super Bowl in San Francisco. He looks more like a tight end. You know what I'm saying?
That's what I said, Roger. I think he's always been shaped more like a tight end.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard he's not a very good thrower, but he's a better runner, so put him in there and let's see what happens, dude. You know, play as long as you can play and don't play, you know, and then give it up. You know, that's what I say. And then basketball, okay? Oh, one more thing. It sounds like your vacation was work and your job is more like a vacation to me.
No, okay? you're wrong about that, my friend. The vacation was amazing, though I was out to save all of the oysters in South Carolina. But
well,
it was a great vacation, and people keep asking me, I just really quick, Roger, keep asking me, do you watch sports? Someone even asked me, do you listen to the radio show when you're gone? No, I check out. No sports, it's against the rules on vacation, and no radio, and almost no social media. So yes, I got away, and it was perfect, Roger.
You know what social media is, and I don't blame you a bit on the other accounts, you know what I'm saying? Okay, basketball real quick, okay? Talking to one of my associates back home, he played college ball and his son coaches college ball now. And we're not big fans of the Lakers. We like the Celtics back in the day. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Pass the ball, move, cut, in and out. In this game today, it looks like they're playing around the world. You know, have you heard of that game where you stand around outside and you shoot the ball?
Of course.
Yeah. It looks like it's more like that. You know, you can't even touch the guy. The game has changed so much.
It has.
Back in the 80s.
I agree with that. Now, I don't need them to be clotheslining each other. That's not necessary either. And I understand the choice to try to protect the head and neck area. But this whole idea about facilitating movement and more scoring, now they've done that, but unfortunately, it's come to, you know, this kind of phenomenon where it feels like the end of games specifically are marred by nonstop whistles, not to mention guys begging and crying for fouls every single time they drive to the hoop or leaning into their defender when they go to shoot a three. I mean, it's really annoying.
I think it might have been Gottlieb or one of these guys on the radio. They're all about the same to me except for you, you know what I'm saying? But anyway, long story short, he was talking about AAU ball. These kids are selling the calls now. You know, they imitate what they see on TV. You know what I'm saying?
I do know what you're saying.
And it's just not good. It's not good. And then one more thing. It's like the ISO ball. What is that? I saw three play. I don't have TV, but I had it for about 6 months, 2 years ago. And James Harden had the ball three times in a row and held it for 67 seconds. No one else touched it. He shot it. And he scored.
Yeah.
But that just gives you
– It's
you know,
boring.
It's not for me. Okay, well, we'll talk to y'all later and have a good week there, okay?
All right, sir. Thanks so much for calling. From Washington, always appreciate Lodger, Roger. Sorry, I was about to go to Larry, and then I said Lodger. It's like a celebrity marriage. Larry in South Bend, I know you've been waiting for a while. What do you think about the NBA ratings?
I think it's a direct result of the personality change of people that the pandemic has brought about.
Okay, so you think it's more about external influences and not anything to do with the actual league itself?
Right.
Okay.
That is correct.
Do you have a personal example about maybe how your viewing habits have changed?
Well, we have something in common. I took a cruise to the Bahamas, and the next thing I know, the same ship was ported in Cuba.
Oh. Well, I've never taken a cruise to Cuba, but I do know a lot of people did for a while.
Yeah, right. So say the question again, please.
Oh, I was just asking you personally about your own viewership habits since the pandemic started. Have you stopped watching sports on TV?
About 5-6 years ago, I bought a vehicle. And there was a 36-inch screen in the back seat, and I almost got it hooked up as a monitor. And then I moved, and it's buried in 4 years of, you know. So I don't depend on TV as a, as a source of information at all.
Gotcha.
In fact, I'm very much a people person.
Yes. Yes. Well, I appreciate that. Thank you for your personal perspective. So Larry in South Bend is saying that it's more about the way, if I interpret him correctly, it's more about the way that people have changed their viewing habits over the course of the last 14, 15 months, as opposed to anything from the NBA itself. Now, that may be a factor. I do believe that people have changed their viewing habits and that their priorities have changed in many cases. So I'm the first to raise my hand and tell you that, yes, I miss sports during the pandemic, but it's not as though I felt like they were the most important thing. I mean, there's a lot of other stuff happening in our nation, so I certainly understand that. And I know cable's really expensive. It's a constant battle with me. I've changed cable packages 5 times in the last 7 years because I can't afford to pay the ever increasing fees. And so I'm constantly trying to get my cable package down to a reasonable monthly rate. So all of those things I understand. That explains some of the decline in ratings. It does not explain why the NBA is down another 13% from what it was in the bubble. There's more to it than that. I think it's a variety of factors. And some of you are finding me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Thank you so much for that. I'll try to share some of those. We'll get back to your calls, your Facebook posts, too, after hours with Amy Lawrence. But straight ahead, Urban Meyer tells you what's actually going on with Tim Tebow. Uh-huh. Straight to the horse. The Source.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Obviously, Urban knows Tim really well, and Tim's got a great history of winning, and Urban really believes he can help us, and I think it makes a lot of sense, and it's a position where we need to get better.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The voice of Tony Khan, co-owner of the Jacksonville Jaguars, when asked to react to this idea that Tim Tebow may sign a contract with his franchise. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Jacksonville head coach Urban Meyer is in a unique situation, right, where he controls the roster and where he can certainly invite different guys to training camp to try out. But it's not quite what you think when it comes to Tim Tebow. At least it's not quite what I thought. He was a guest on the Chris Collinsworth podcast, and he is setting the record straight on his former star quarterback at Florida.
We have not signed Tim. There's a thought going around. You know, he was in the best shape of his life, asked to see if he could work out with a couple of our coaches. I wasn't even there. And they came back to me and said, wow, this guy's in incredible shape. And I said, then I went another time and watched him try him out. And they said, go work on these things. He comes back later. They try him out again. I'm not there. And they come in and they said, wow, you know, this guy's ball skills. He's a great athlete. He looks like he's 18 years old, not 20, whatever he is, 33. And I said, guys, you don't understand. Now, this guy is, you know, he's the most competitive maniac you're ever going to talk to. And let's give it a shot. And I have not decided if we're going to do that or not yet. I'm getting close. I got to make a decision here pretty soon.
So I thought it was interesting that Meyer wasn't at either of the workouts and that he was getting reports from his coaches. And certainly, if it's not Urban Meyer, Tim Tebow likely doesn't ask for and maybe isn't granted an opportunity to work out. So that certainly gives you the in. But coach wasn't even there, and he has yet to decide. So I don't know if that changes your opinion. I know Tebow is still a trigger, even 10 years later. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. A lot of you weighing in with your theories about the NBA's ratings. And then our Facebook page, too. I've tried to go back and answer some of your questions for Ask Amy Anything. One more from the world of football and then your calls. But only because this report from Ian Rappaport on NFL Network actually caught my ear for one particular reason. So a lot of the media speculation and a lot of the fan speculation is that Rodgers already has one foot out the door. But would it change your mind or maybe change your perspective to know that they're negotiating?
They are not in a good place. They are not happy with each other. The Packers have done a lot of different things to try to make Aaron Rodgers happy, to try to get him to kind of come back to them a little bit. They've made a significant long-term contract extension offer, and the two sides have been negotiating, so it's not like they've just been talking to themselves here. There certainly has been some engagement from Rodgers' side. We know something that Mike Garofalo reported last week, that Rodgers has talked to several different players about joining him somewhere else. However, of course, as we know, the Packers have zero plans whatsoever to trade him. The real question, Tom, is can the two sides come together, agree on a contract extension that makes everyone happy and move forward? If you listen to sort of friends of Rodgers like James Jones on our network, nothing has been ruled out, and coming together and working it out is still on the table. We'll just see if they can do it in time to where it kind of means something this spring.
Yeah, I don't think it needs to be done this spring. Actually, if something were to happen with Rodgers, I think there's a much smaller dead cap hit if it takes place after the spring is done, if I remember that correctly. But I didn't realize that they were actually negotiating. Now, I appreciate that Ian Rappaport and others have contributed to that report where he says, hey, this is not a done deal yet, because that's how I feel. The Packers are dead set against trading him. And if they're negotiating over money and they're going back and forth over a contract, there's still very much a chance that nothing changes at all except the dollar signs. And if I'm the Packers, I toe the line. Even if he says he's going to retire, I call his bluff, because there's no way I'm freaking trading Aaron Rodgers. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227. I thought of one more reason why maybe people have soured on the NBA. I know it annoys me, is that everyone wants to play with his BFF. That part bothers me. Though I guess Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski, they're BFFs and they're playing together. Some of you are writing in with your theories about the NBA ratings. Here's one on Twitter. Ratings are down possibly because of the fact that nobody has cable anymore. That's a bit of a hyperbole. Some people still have cable. He says more streaming is done both legally and illegally. I can watch my Mavs versus the nationally televised game. Well, you're right about that. Thank you for your tweet. But that explains a decline in ratings across the board for all sports. It doesn't explain why the NBA is continuing to decline and is so much farther down than what a lot of the other sports are. So yes, I agree with you. That's a factor. And all these sports, like the NFL, like others, are seeing that. But it doesn't explain why the NBA's ratings have dropped even further in terms of percentage than what the other sports have. Zach on Twitter, he says, wait, actually, I'm going to save Zach's tweet. Justin on Twitter, NBA is dying death by a thousand cuts. The style of play, superstars changing teams yearly, super teams. He says politicalization. I hate using politics as the umbrella, so I'll say activism. He says they're putting the stick in their bike spokes and not taking the blame for the fall. I like the metaphor. That's a great visual imagery, a great picture to explain it. Okay, let's do some calls here. We're going to go quick, so I want to kind of run through these. Dan in South Carolina, go ahead. You're up next on After Hours.
A couple quick things. First, you're always welcome in South Carolina. Glad
you
were in the state. Glad you got out before everybody lost their mind about the gas.
Oh, yeah.
Secondly, just because it's been so long on hold, the NBA, the tweet just nailed it. It's everything. And it's one by one by one. It started with, I think, the super team starting to form. The problem with super teams is after a couple of years, people that aren't rooting for a super team lose hope. Then they find other things to occupy their time. Then you talk about cable, cutting the cord, people downloading illegally. Then you talk about activism. And I think one of the things where, like you talked about, the NFL will just not show the kneeling. They just won't show the opening ceremony. The NBA, you can't get away from it. It's there nonstop, start to finish. I think it's just, like you said, death of a thousand cuts. But I called in about Tebow.
Okay.
One of the things that I think most people forget is when Tim Tebow came out, he was not highly regarded as a quarterback. I can't remember the coach's name. He ended up in St. Louis for a little bit as the OC. He bounced all over. But when he was in Denver, he jumped up, traded up, and took Tebow way too soon as a quarterback in the first round.
Yes.
And it was just a terrible move. He was more – people forget, and some young people may not understand, this is an old H-back role, right? It's a fullback tight end hybrid. There was a guy named Frank Wycheck that used to play for the Houston Oilers and the Tennessee Titans. The guy was a perennial Pro Bowler. He was an absolute weapon on an offense. And that was what Tim Tebow was projected to be for a decade.
But he wouldn't change positions.
He would not change positions.
Yeah.
So real quick, people need to look at it from a football point of view and not from any other point of view. And I'm so tired of the Kaepernick thing. He's not going as a quarterback. He's going as a different position. So the whole Kaepernick argument is completely null and void from start because it's not even the same position anymore.
All right, but even if you're not talking football and you're just talking about the positions that each of these guys have taken, it's night and day.
Yeah, so they're bringing him in on a football thing. Like you said, if you could bring in a guy at a third round, like a third string tight end, right? And it's not like he's been sitting or working out. Hand-eye coordination is one of the most vital things in baseball. He made it to AAA. He almost made it to the pros. Hitting a baseball is probably harder than most things in football. You talked about Urban Meyer not being at the meetings. Well, he's the head coach now. He knows the framework of Tim Tebow. He knows everything that he needs to know about Tim Tebow and what he's going to bring to the table on and off the field.
Well, he did. Tebow's 33 now, Dan. And you've got 10 seconds, so hurry.
That's fine. So what I'm saying is he's relying on the guys. They're NFL coaches. They know what to look for.
Gotcha.
If they come back and say he can catch, he can do all these things, that's why they said they gave him like a checklist. Go work on these, come back, show us what. That's all that was. I don't think he needs to be there because he knows everything.
I gotcha.
You know? He's just relying on them for this specific.
Yeah, and we'll see. We'll see whether they offer him a deal, but also whether or not he could survive training camp because it's obviously a cutthroat process. Dan, thank you for your call from South Carolina. I appreciate it. 855-212-4227. Oh, look, Steve is also in South Carolina. I'm not kidding, Steve. You have a minute. Go.
All right. NBA, I think it's all defense and flopping and this activism.
Wait, there's no there's no defense in the NBA, actually.
Yep, no defense. They don't play it. And that's been going on for 10, 11 years now. So, yeah, that's the problem.
So you think it's a combination of the play on the court as well as some of these other factors that have been mentioned?
Yep, sure is.
All right, Steve. Does it matter at all that South Carolina doesn't have a team?
No.
All right, Steve. Good to talk to you. Thank you so much for your call. All right, let's see if we can do one more here. Ron in Portland, Oregon. 30 seconds. Go.
Oh, man. Frank took all my time. Thank you for taking my call. I'll try to go deep. I'm a historical guy. I've been reading the newspapers since 1958. Got a great degree from a great school. It's general cultural fragmentation. Everybody is doing their own thing.
Okay.
Even, you know, it's always been the traditionalists versus the innovators all through world history.
This might be way too deep for my audience, Ron, but can you do me a favor? Call back sometime when we have more time for you. I'm not joking. That's the music. They're going to cut me off if I don't cut you off. So I like the fragmentation, though. I appreciate that idea, and maybe it's a little deeper than what most NBA fans have thought of. All right, so we will be back for tonight. We'll continue this discussion even. I can't believe we're three shows down. Go survive your hump day. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.